40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. A Manhattan jury awarded magazine writer E. Jean Carroll $5 million in a civil lawsuit she filed against former President Trump. CBS's Elaine Keano reports.
Carroll had accused Trump of raping her in a New York department store dressing room in the mid-90s. She first went public with her claim in her 2019 memoir. Trump denied the accusation, calling it a hoax.
I was falsely accused by this woman. I have no idea who she is. It's ridiculous.
During the trial, Carroll gave graphic testimony. She told jurors, "I'm here because Donald Trump raped me. And when I wrote about it, he said it didn't happen. He shattered my reputation."
Trump's lawyers say they will appeal. For the first time ever, the U.S. could run out of money and not be able to pay the bills if the bigwigs in Washington can't come to an agreement on raising the debt limit. They'll meet again on Friday, and President Biden is optimistic.
Pleased, but not surprised to hear Republican Minority Leader of the United States Senate saying that at our meeting that the United States is not going to default, never has, and it never will. He's absolutely correct.
Migrants are coming to the southern border in large numbers as Title 42 comes to an end this week. Correspondent Nicole D'Antonio with how the White House is preparing.
CBS News has learned the Biden administration is working to finalize a new regulation which would replace Title 42 and allow for the quick expulsion of migrants apprehended at the border.
The regulation would disqualify migrants from asylum if they failed to request it in another country on their way to the U.S.
Goldman Sachs settled a gender bias lawsuit for $215 million. Anthropologist Karen Ho says Wall Street is notorious for paying on a performance-based system run mainly by white men. She's not surprised by the settlement, though.
Certainly that is the MO of Wall Street, right? Oftentimes settling before court.
The big winner at this year's Westminster Dog Show is...
It's a first-time win for this rabbit-hunting breed.
Best in show tonight is the PBGB.
The Westminster Kennel Club on Fox Sports 1, held this year at the USTA Billie Jean King National Tennis Center. Buddy Holly is his name. The hairy gray and white pooch bested six other finalists to garner the most prestigious dog show award in the U.S. About 2,500 dogs of 210 breeds vied for the trophy.
All of those owners.
Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
In a time when everything seems so expensive, here's a good deal. Concert Week kicks off today from Live Nation. We're beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, you can try to nab cheap tickets to thousands of shows for only $25. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit
It's time to have some fun and make a difference, Waukesha County. Attend the 2023 Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha Dream Builders Gala on June 9th at 6 p.m. in the Domenica Park neighborhood. Help celebrate the accomplishments of last year while helping to create, preserve, and promote affordable housing in our area. Enjoy an upscale barbecue, live entertainment, and the chance to make a real difference in the lives of local families. Register now at HabitatWaukesha.org/events. That's HabitatWaukesha.org/events. Let's build a brighter future together.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Get off the endless debt treadmill and start saving money each month. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Call Total Financial now at 800-208-1312. 800-208-1312.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the sixth season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on, enjoymtpleasant.org. We're all familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative, at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, I'm calling this one a Trump-tastic Tuesday verdict edition. The verdict, well, it's a civil liability.
Recording in progress.
Effectively, Donald Trump, guilty, guilty, guilty.
Guilty, guilty, guilty. I've seen it reported different ways. Guilty, sexual abuse, sexual battery, as it's been described, and of course, defamation, like a $5 million fine amount that he's going to have to pay. Of course, he will appeal. He will appeal. Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our friend, going to join us at 4:30 to unpack the big news here today.
We're unpacking the big guns. We're bringing out our legal eagle. You know, Jim Santel's going to join us tomorrow, so we'll have more to cover with him as well. And Bill Press back from his European vacation, He's joining on Thursday.
Joining us 5 o'clock on Thursday. We're lining them up and we're knocking them down.
Some of our favored friends.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be a great week.
Dom, before we get into the, I guess it's not a conviction, the civil liability. We'll get into all that with Maggie Dawn.
Get into the liability, yes.
Be patient. Be patient. I guess we wanted to start somewhere else, though. We wanted to start back here in the great state of Wisconsin in Wausau. They had this little issue, and I don't mean Ron DeSantis, that Florida man coming to town yesterday.
A different issue.
They've had this ongoing issue with the band teacher, who happens to be, at least allegedly, a little racist, a little homophobic, and it's coming to a head, Dom. It's starting to brew. The pot's brewing. The headline here at the Journal Sentinel: outrage overflows at board meeting over Wausau East band teacher who used racial slurs. Now, there's some new information contained here. I go to the Gannett piece at the Journal Sentinel. Dateline Wausau. Nearly 30 speakers, including a music director from the second city in Chicago and a teacher representing 65 colleagues, told school board members Monday they stand with the Wausau East High School student and his family, whose complaint against a controversial band instructor was dismissed. Totally dismissed it. Some specifically addressed Robert Perkins and the district's own determination that he Perkins, used racial and homophobic language in school. Others used their 3 minutes of speaking in the boardroom at Longfellow Administration Center to frame the situation as part of a long, frustrating record of racism and discrimination in the district. Nevertheless, after an hour and a half of testimony, the board approved the contracts of a lengthy list of teachers for next year, and Perkins was on the list, Dom. They renewed the man's contract. When WASA board member Pat McKee questioned whether the board should reconsider one person, given all it had heard Monday night, Tabitha Gundrum, director of human resources, told him, "Statutorily, we cannot because there was no preliminary notice of non-renewal from a timing standpoint." The HR person says you can't fire him. You didn't send out a memo, Dom.
You didn't get the memo? I mean, what? And get it. I understand the union's got to, teachers are protected. But if the teacher is verbally abusing, that was the district's determination that this teacher, let's get his name right, this teacher, Robert Perkins, was verbally abusing. I would call that verbal abuse, using racist language, homophobic language. That seems to be somewhat abusive. So if the teacher starts swearing at the kids, or maybe, starts getting a little creeper. There's some creeper in this. There's some creeper. We'll get to it. But let's go to another example.
Teacher,
if a teacher were to abuse physically the children, do they have to provide the preliminary notice of non-renewal, or they just can his ass?
I'm not even clear, Dom, if this is a Monday night thing, and they said, well, our deadline's the end of the week. Is that last week or this week? Because there still seems like there's time to send out the non-renewal memo. Gundrum said the board only had until the end of the week. The reporting not very clear on this point, Dom, to meet the statutory deadline for contract renewals. Notably, the public speakers Monday and at least one board member were not aware that the renewal of Perkins, again, this is the alleged contract for next year, was essentially set, and that the administration apparently had taken no steps in advance to address that. Further, Gundrum is the administration official who led the district's investigation into Perkins' conduct and determined that while it was, Dom, characterized here as insensitive and unprofessional. Now, I've characterized you as insensitive and unprofessional. Never crossed any of these lines. But anyways, it didn't rise to the level of harassment and discrimination. No one spoke in favor of Perkins. That's odd. Perkins didn't even speak on his own bequest, with the exception of two students, only one of whom offered unqualified support. The other requested the school release its full investigation to the public in order to better understand the situation, because harassment by teachers has always been a thing, Dom.
Ooh, sounds like it's systemic within the system up in Warsaw. Crudy, others share accounts of harassment and discrimination. Manny and Twang Vongpiti, and forgive me if I pronounce that incorrectly, along with their son, filed an official complaint of harassment and discrimination with the district against Perkins on April 5th. The family is of Hmong and Lao descent. Their son is a senior at the high school and openly gay. They said Perkins directed racial and homophobic slurs at the son, who's been so traumatized by the experience, he's not been attending class. Superintendent Keith Hilt put Perkins on leave on April 10th. 2 weeks later, he released a statement to the family and Perkins that Gundrum found the teacher's behavior caused unease, quote-unquote, among students when his comments were racial and sexist in nature. Nevertheless, Hilst dismissed the complaint and returned Perkins to the classroom. So, being uneasy with racial and sexist conversation from your music teacher, apparently in Warsaw, totally fine. The decision outraged the family and the larger Asian community in Warsaw. A petition listing a series of demands of the school district, beginning with Perkins' termination, garnered more than 3,000 signatures as of Monday evening. Perkins has made no public comment on the matter and did not attend Monday's board meeting. One of the speakers during the 1.5 hour public testimony, Kathleen Plyer, said she drove 300 miles from Chicago in support of the family. a 2016 graduate of Wausau East. Plyer is a queer Chinese American who said that her experience at Wausau East helped prepare her to become a music director at a famous comedy venue, Second City, but had nothing to do with Perkins' support.
Wait, wait. Here's the endorsement. I mean, this this is some real backhanded. Anyways, just read it.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go. Wausau East helped set up my career in music as an act of endurance to Perkins' bullying, his racism, homophobia, and his lack of musical support and musical competency, Plyer said. She described some of the racist jokes Perkins allegedly shared while she was a student. I'm now telling you this as someone who's doing music professionally in a huge city. As a director of Second City, I've heard much better jokes than I've heard at East. And here's the creeper part. Another speaker read a statement on behalf of Olivia Torres, who alleged that Perkins would call her brother Mexican, Cheech, and Pedro nicknames that made them both uncomfortable. Because my brother has a name, she said. Perkins allegedly referred to Torres and her brother as Mexican 1 and Mexican 2. After Perkins learned Torres was bisexual, she wrote, he invited her to his office to watch a YouTube video of a woman in a purple bodysuit dancing with a musical instrument. He told Torres how sexually attractive he found the woman in the video and asked if she agreed. When he found out I was bisexual, he took advantage of me by using me as an opportunity to sexualize me and other women, Torres said in the letter. USA Today did confirm that Torres, she was the author of that letter. Some speakers questioned what could possibly qualify as harassment and discrimination if the allegations did not in the district's eyes. Tim Parker, the president and CEO of Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, called the district's public statement on their decision generic and unspecific, something that read more like a boilerplate response than one addressing the unique circumstances in this case.
That's why you run it by HR, Dom, so they don't say anything that would, accept culpability here.
Jody Craig, a teacher at Wausau East, presented a written statement co-signed by 65 other staff members of the school in support of the family. Craig was accompanied by about 15 staff members who stood in unity with her while she read the statement. Among them was Manny Vong Pakti and the student's mother and longtime counselor at the high school. Quote, we are saddened by what has transpired and do not condone what has led us to this point. It is our hope that the public, especially our beloved and respected Hmong community, along with the board, recognize that this is not indicative of all staff conduct. Students from different places and of different races belong and deserve a respectful, caring, and nurturing space. We stand united in our advocacy for all students. At no point has anybody in the administration checked in with the student about his mental health, nor has a safety plan been put in place for the student to return to school without fear of retaliation or confrontation by the teacher, Jennifer Yang, the student's aunt, told the board. Quote, they were pulled out of class to celebrate his teacher's return while my nephew can barely get out of bed. He's had to endure so much victim blaming. You had an opportunity to make all these wrongs right, but the district decided to be complicit in racism, sexism, and homophobia. And I'll throw in there a little creeper.
Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau, Wisconsin, issued a statement last week saying, while she didn't know the particulars of this case, she knew the family, the Vong Pakti family. My heart goes out to the Wausau East student and their family who have been navigating this situation. She is a Wausau East grad. Come back with us. Folks, we are the devil's advocates. It's a big Tuesday verdict edition, a Trumptacular verdict. And we got Maggie Dawn. She is spectacular in her own regard. She's going to help go inside. But first, Derek Van Orden, the congressman from the third great state of Wisconsin.
Insurrectionist.
Flip-flopper. That's the accusation today. What'd he flip-flop on? Stick around, I'll tell you.
Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853, the Milwaukee Turners at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 46. Winds out of the south around 5 miles an hour. Highs level off around 76. Tomorrow, mainly sunny. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, lows level off around 50. Partly cloudy skies Thursday with a high of 76. 72, chance for scattered showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Be sure to follow us on the socials on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio. And of course, you can find interviews, podcasts, etc. on the civicmedia.us. Click on the shows tab and look for the greatest radio show ever, the Devil's Advocates.
Dominic can look forward in the headlines coming soon. Civic Media expands into Western Wisconsin in a big sort of way. I got some closings coming up a little bit later this week.
Nice.
And we will be adding some air support all across Western Wisconsin. And Dom, that effectively is the 3rd Congressional District. And there's a man that currently serves there. He's a new congressman, a freshman, an insurrectionist. He went out to January 6th. I just don't call the guy that. He was literally a guy that went out to the January 6th to participate in the insurrection. You know, from a safe distance, he would claim, although he has been convicted of bringing a loaded handgun back on an airplane. And one questions whether or not they just didn't find the gun when he was going out to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. They only found the gun when he was coming back. But my understanding is, Dom, one in the chamber.
Whew. Wow, I did not know that part of it. Well, got to be ready, right? Derek Van Orden. Also, this is a guy that berated, a 17-year-old library employee slash volunteer because he really didn't like all the LGBTQ books. So he went and yelled at her and grabbed them all and took them all and then brought them back later because he's a psychopath, my opinion.
The charge today. Hypocrite flip-flopper.
Of course. He's a Republican. Of course he is.
Let me read a little of the coverage thereof, Dom, from the paper of record, Lawrence Andrea at the Journal Sentinel. On the campaign trail, Derek Van Orden was critical of Democrats' revival of earmarks and claimed the practice would open the door for corruption. That's a quote. But now, in his first year in Congress, the Wisconsin Republican appears to have changed his mind. They call that a flip-flop, right, Dom? On the federal spending, lawmakers can direct the projects in their home districts. Van Orden last month requested just under $73 million in earmarks. More, more than the rest of the state's House delegation combined.
What?
He's one of 8 congressmen. So the other 7 combined had less than $10 million each on average. And Van Orden's at $73 million. The guy that said this opens the door for corruption. That was his direct quote.
That's a big door. It's like a garage door.
Now, Democratic U.S. Reps Gwen Moore and Mark Pocan requested $33 million and $24 million in earmarks, respectively. And Republican U.S. Rep Scott Fitzgerald was the only member of Wisconsin's GOP delegation to file a request, which totaled about $4 million. So Fitzy's trying to bring home the bacon for the fifth. And Gwen Moore and Mark Pocan have been there. Van Orden's request came 2 years after he criticized Democrats for reinstituting earmarks when he was a candidate for the third congressional, you know, way back in 2022, Dom. The earmark process, he told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in May in a 2021 statement, is just another way for Democrats to continue to solidify power. He referenced his opponent, who announced his retirement later that year. Representative Ron Kind and others are strictly beholden to special interest groups who have funded them, and this will open the door to corruption.
As how many millions did he request?
73. Asked about Van Orden's decision to request earmarks despite previously opposing their renewal, a spokeswoman for the freshman congressman pointed to the new rules for earmarks put in place by Republicans earlier this year. You know, they solved this problem, Don.
It's all good now. Okay.
At the beginning of this Congress, House Republicans narrowed the rules for earmarks because they were being blatantly abused by Democrats to fund corruption projects. Sounds like Anna Kelly, the spokeswoman, sort of, you know, parroting the boss in some way,
shape, or form. Well, now they'll perhaps be less blatantly abused to be used for corruption.
Rep. Van Orden has consistently opposed undue influence by special interest in Washington.
Undue, not due influence. Due influence to Van Orden, totally fine. It's that undue influence he's got a big problem with.
Democrats revived earmarks last Congress after a decades-long moratorium on the process, widely seen at the time as wasteful and corrupt. They imposed new rules that in part limited the number of earmarks a lawmaker could request, required members to post requests publicly to their websites, and held that earmarks cannot total more than 1% of discretionary spending in an appropriation bill. Lawmakers were also made to certify that they had no financial interest in the request. Now, House Republicans voted to lift their own internal ban on earmarks the same year, and both parties requested similar sums. You know, when you add it up, it's the sums, Dom. Proponents of the change argued earmarks provided incentives for bipartisan cooperation on legislation.
Yeah, everybody gets paid.
And, Dom, when Republicans took control of the House this year, they further tightened those rules, banning earmarks from labor, health, human services, education, financial services, and defense appropriation bills, and imposing more restrictions on the so-called community project funding earmarks. They cap it at about 0.5% of the discretionary of any given bill. Now, Van Orden's office did not detail specific changes made by Republicans this year that made the process more acceptable for the first-year lawmaker, but he asked for $73 million. I'm spreading it around all over the third because, you know, now he's an incumbent. He's bringing home the bacon because he's on the ballot next year. Congress people, they got to run every 2 years.
And this time, we will be in the backyard letting people know that Van Orden is all down with the $73 million of due influence. It's the undue influence from the Democrats that he has a problem with.
Did I tell you, I was checking out the Eagle 1490 AM in La Crosse yesterday. We're coming there. And 93.5 FM in the Eau Claire Valley. We're coming there very, very soon.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, baby.
Derek Van Orden. We'll be like virtual neighbors. We'll talk to you each and every day on the radio. Can't wait. Maggie Dawn, our good friend, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, lawyer in the know, joins us on The Devil's Advocates. This great show continues.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Former President Trump's been found liable of sexual abuse and defamation. The charges brought on by writer E. Jean Carroll, who said the incident happened in the 90s in a dressing room.
I have absolutely no idea who this woman is. The verdict is a disgrace, a continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all time. Absolutely a shame.
No deal to raise the debt ceiling yet, but President Biden remains positive.
We agree to continue our discussions, and we're going to meet again on Friday.
The pandemic-era immigration policy known as Title 42 is set to expire Thursday. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says they have a plan.
We're going to do everything that we can and use every available tool to us, as we have been, to deal with this issue in a humane way, manage it humanely.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
It's time to have some fun and make a difference, Waukesha County. Attend the 2023 Habitat for Humanity of Waukesha Dream Builders Gala on June 9th at 6 p.m. in the Domenica Park neighborhood. Help celebrate the accomplishments of last year while helping to create, preserve, and promote affordable housing in our area. Enjoy an upscale barbecue, live entertainment, and the chance to make a real difference in the lives of local families. Register now at HabitatWaukesha.org/events. That's HabitatWaukesha.org/events. Let's build a brighter future together.
Are you an experienced industrial painter, drywall finisher, or want to be? Do you want more than a job, but a high-paying career where your interests are well represented, ensuring a safe work environment? The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7 wants you. Bring your knowledge or ask about paid training. Learn more now. Call Tom Coyne, 262-488-4839, 262-488-4839, or go to the union's website, iupatdc7.com.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the sixth season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on, enjoymtpleasant.org.
When it comes to hair and makeup artistry, there is only one salon that you need, Raven and Blonde. Their stylists are passionate about their work and committed to giving you the best service possible. From precision cuts to perms, balayage to dimensional color service and more, the Raven and Blonde stylists do it all. Book your appointment today at ravenandblonde.com. That's ravenandblonde.com. Raven and Blonde, where hair and makeup artistry meets exceptional service. 157 South First Street, Milwaukee.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I call it a Trumptastic Tuesday Verdict Edition. And we got a Trumptastic guest coming very, very shortly. What's she chasing her dog? What's she doing? Dom, I have a statement. Obviously, the story we reference. Former President Donald Trump found civilly liable, $5 million, the verdict. And we've got a statement.
Maybe mute her till she gets ready. Then we got to control the thing.
I'm sorry. I'm momentarily distracted by Maggie Dawn's dog. Maggie, you realize we're on the radio now, right, sister? Oh, this is going to be a problematic interview, I can tell.
Yes, it's already happening.
Here's what Donald Trump said in response to the verdict today.
Hi.
It wasn't that. He said, I have absolutely no idea who this woman is. Trump wrote in all capital letters on his Truthy Social shortly after the verdict was announced. This verdict is a disgrace, a continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all time. In a subsequent interview with Fox News Digital, Trump said he planned to appeal the verdict while bashing the judge in the case as a Clinton administration appointee. We'll appeal. We got treated very badly by the Clinton appointed judge. The 9-member jury found that Trump did not commit rape of Carol in the mid-90s, but did find him liable for sexual abuse. He was ordered to pay Carol a total of $5 million. That's a lot of money, Maggie Dawn.
It is a lot of money, and what an interesting verdict it is. I actually took the time to go and download the verdict form so we would know exactly what questions the jury was asked to answer in the order in which they were asked to answer them, because I think jury forms are super interesting. So, of course, the big headline, right, is that they did not find that Ms. Carroll proved by a preponderance of evidence that Donald Trump had raped her. Yet in the second question, that was the very first question on the jury form, and yet in the very second question of the jury form, they did find that Trump sexually abused Ms. Carroll. Well, what? I mean, it's just one of those interesting jury decisions. And oftentimes, now I wouldn't have naturally assumed this given that the jury was only out for a very relatively short period of time. Sometimes you'll see what you call these sort of split decision verdicts when juries have a really hard time coming to a unanimous decision. But here, given it only took a matter of a few hours, it certainly seems to indicate that they didn't have that much of a problem. Now, having said all that, you could see a situation in which these 9 people get in a room, and it was 6 men, 3 women. And there are, for a variety of, subconscious biases, reasons, et cetera, people just didn't have the votes to conclude that he raped her, but they all sort of agreed he did something terrible here. So that's how it sorted out. And they awarded her $2 million for that wrongdoing alone. So on the sexual abuse alone, the award was $2 million. Then when you turn to the defamation, which is the sort of more sticky wicket of a legal concept, right? Purely legally, it's a harder thing to prove. And here, again, they found that, yes, he spoke falsely about her, that she was injured by that. And the total damages awarded by the jury here, and I think this is really interesting to note, exactly matches the amount of money that Ms. Carroll's expert, which they called near the last day of full testimony in the trial, last Thursday, that expert testified that it would cost up to $2.7 million to repair Ms. Carroll's reputation. That was her expert's testimony. And today in the verdict form, a total of exactly $2.7 million awarded to Ms. Carroll in 2 different forms. We'll talk a little bit about that related to the defamation. So a very interesting verdict form and decision here.
I would have sought $1 billion to have my reputation repaired. Perhaps the persuadable jury would have followed my lead. The distinction I had seen in other reporting on the sexual battery but not rape is effectively perhaps the jury believed, as he essentially confessed, that he grabs women by the genitalia, but that is something different than the actual act of rape. They believe he did it because he confessed to it. Did he not, Maggie? That's the deposition we saw.
It would certainly defy all rationality and common sense for a man who says, I routinely sexually assault women. And by the way, that's what famous people can do, which he said in his deposition in this case, and went further to say that perhaps that was a fortunate thing, that famous people can sexually assault women at will. Yes, it would seem to run counter to both the facts, common sense, and just all rationality to argue that he didn't sexually assault someone. Here, though, of course, they had to show up specifically that he assaulted by a preponderance of the evidence Miss Carroll on this day or dates, which in this case was very interesting. She couldn't recall even what year the assault had occurred. And I think when scholars and other court watchers look back, Miss Carroll's vehemence under a withering cross-examination of dubious merit by attorney Tacopina, as well as her very articulate way of explaining why she doesn't remember it as if a movie occurred, right? And we understand this from those that are experts in trauma, that isn't how the brain records traumatic events. So there are lots of very interesting tidbits from this trial to reflect upon. Again, our country's obsession with, you know, was there intercourse is interesting to me. And I will take the jury to task for not concluding that Mr. Trump raped her. I don't see a world in which this man is in this circumstance, pulling up her skirt and pulling down her pantyhose, where he doesn't take that act to fruition, because that's not the kind of guy Donald Trump is. The only time I could see him not taking that act to fruition is if he had some mechanical problems. So I'm going to take the jury to task here on the finding that he did not rape her. But again, I think the amounts of in damages that are awarded here, as well as the clarity on the defamation piece, the jury sent a resounding message that this man sexually assaults women and he should be held to account and to pay for that.
Our fine guest, attorney Maggie Dawn. Maggie, my understanding, E. Jean Carroll retains the dress and there is DNA deposited on the dress. She claims came from Donald Trump. This was not presented as evidence at this civil trial, my understanding. We know Trump's going to appeal. You talked about the rape verdict. Was not found as you think it should have been found. Does the lack of any sort of, you know, direct witness testimony or even DNA evidence presented at civil trial, do you think that's the reason or a possible reason why the rape charge did not stick like the other two allegations did?
I'm not going to speculate. Listen, I can speak generally to the fact that the CSI effect, the law and order effect, has had a significantly material and negative impact on what jurors now expect when they sit in courtrooms. In the vast majority of violent crimes, we do not have DNA or any sort of scientific evidence. In the vast majority of sexual assault, I shouldn't say the vast majority, in a significant proportion of sexual assaults and rapes, there is no DNA evidence. There is a goodly amount that do have that, but the absence thereof, I think, is overweighted by juries, all else being equal. I can't speculate as to what might be in effect here. I could say that that is just as likely, in my opinion, as it may be that a jury felt some trepidation over calling a former American president a rapist as a legal matter. And again, I'm going to take them to task for that. I just don't understand it, and I cannot foresee a set of facts where Donald Trump is sexually assaulting them, and if he has the power and ability to do so, where he does not rape a woman under those facts that Miss Carroll testified to here. But again, I think this is all part and parcel, and we can look at that as part of this very negative CSI and law and order effect that we've seen throughout our legal system.
Maggie Dawn, counsel, our fine guest. Thank you, Maggie. Great to see you again. And I'm with you on that with the jury. I mean, it's hard for me to comprehend how the jury could, you know, hear this testimony and understand it and comprehend what was going on. But then the same circumstances, they're not able to, while they're fine with accepting the sexual battery or their sexual assault, it's just too much to go to the rape. And perhaps, as mentioned, the American president, may have had something to it. Maybe it was, as Crudy mentioned, this constant conversation of Trump admitting over and over again that, yeah, you know, for the last million years, if you're a star, you can grab him by the genitalia and that's totally fine. But, you know, we're not in the jury room. We're here talking about it on the radio. Let's talk about Trump's reaction. Of course, Trump all caps tweeted, "We'll let that lie." His attorney was out today, though. He did talk about appealing. He talked about court bias. He said that the Access Hollywood tape should never have been admitted. And he talked about the motions that they laid out during the course of the trial that would help them perhaps in appeal. Maggie Dawn, your opinion on any of those issues?
Well, that's what they've got to say, right? I mean, let's just observe the obvious. First of all, every lawyer, when you lose a case, will come out, especially if it's one that is has a lot of public attention. He'll say, "We're going to review the trial court's rulings very carefully, and we think there were substantial errors, and my client didn't get a fair trial, and so we're going to appeal." That is just part and parcel of what lawyers do. Nothing to see there. As to whether or not the Access Hollywood tape was to be admitted as evidence, really interesting question that I think it was a pretty savvy decision from the trial judge's standpoint, because indisputably, everyone on that jury had heard about it. And so at least this way, they weren't talking, you know, trying to avoid talking about the thing that everyone already knew. Oh, and also, he effectively admitted the same thing in his deposition, right? He was confronted with it. He admitted the same thing in his deposition. So on balance, I think an appeals court would have a really hard time concluding that that single piece of evidence was so prejudicial that without it, no jury could ever have come to the conclusion that this one did, which is generally the standard on appeal. Where you don't have ineffective assistance of counsel and some other appeal grounds, is basically, was the evidentiary error, in other words, allowing or disallowing evidence made by the trial judge, so egregious, so out of bounds that the absence or presence of that piece of evidence would have changed the outcome? I just don't think that that argument holds any sort of water here. And if you can't get a fair trial on something like this in New York, I don't know where you can get it.
Maggie Dawn, just a couple minutes left in this segment. As a Wisconsin Broadcasters Association award-winning interviewer, I'm curious to know what you would suggest for Caitlin Collins. CNN, I mean, Trump's going to go tomorrow to a town hall. He's got a platform at CNN, and I respect Caitlin Collins, but, I mean, CNN, a question, this decision. What advice would you give Caitlin Collins in the last 60 seconds in this segment, Counselor?
Ask him again, ask him a third time, ask him a fourth time until he answers the question directly, which is, do you respect the jury's verdict? And will you pay Miss Carroll the damages that have been awarded her? Those are the two questions I'd be asking Donald Trump.
Hey, Maggie, guess who else has been federally indicted since we've been on the air?
Who, Mike? Tell me.
Representative George Santos.
Shocked, I say. Shocked.
Come back with us, our fine guest, legal counsel, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, but Devil's Advocate's official legal eagle. She's Maggie Dawn. She's our friend. We'll be right back.
Oh, my God.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Get off the endless debt treadmill and start saving money each month. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Call Total Financial now at 800-208-1312. 800-208-1312.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
mainly clear skies overnight with a low of 45. Winds out of the south around 5 miles an hour. Clear skies tomorrow, highs around 75. Mainly clear tomorrow night, lows level off around 51. Mainly sunny skies and calm Thursday with daytime highs approaching 77. 72, chance for scattered rain showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio. Shaw, Maggie, Dawn, our fine guest, will join us in just a moment. But here's the headline from CNN. Federal prosecutors have filed criminal charges against New York Rep. George Santos, Republican lawmaker whose astonishing pattern of lies and fabrication stunned even hardened politicos, according to three sources. Familiar, Santos expected to appear as soon as Wednesday at federal court in New York's Eastern District, where the charges had been filed under seal.
Maggie Dawn. What's Fido's name again? The cute little... Yeah, right.
My little doggy's Finny, and she thinks George Santos is a big liar, liar, pants on fire, too.
Thank you, Finny.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Maggie Dawn, I'm sorry. Your dog distracted me a little bit. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I think, does it say what he's specifically been charged with?
We don't know.
The exact nature of the charges couldn't immediately be learned, according to CNN.
I know what I wonder. We'll learn more about the Santos, perhaps an hour or two, the happier happy hour. But Maggie Dawn, back to the Donald Trump, a couple of thoughts. First and foremost, right-wing talk radio. Our competitors, our inferior competitors down the dial, as listen to the one out of Madison, Vicky, Dom's girl, she said effectively she hadn't listened or watched any of the court coverage, but because this ruling happened in Manhattan, it should be completely dismissed. That was her take. And then I turned over to the Foxy News Digital. Want to see how Fox News is covering this. Top of the page, right? No, that's Hunter Biden. But when they did get around to covering this story, it's through the viewpoint of Donald Trump claiming he never met the woman.
Well, that's rich. Some real deep thinkers there, right? I mean, geez, because it happened in New York, it doesn't count.
Well, and the jury instructions, I mean, that was the other part. You know, I didn't watch any of the trial, but I feel quite confident because it happened in Manhattan and the jury instructions, we're going to set this aside. Nothing happened. Nothing to see.
I mean, jury instructions, admittedly, very important. It's what is argued about by trial lawyers a lot. But at the end of the day, it is a dangerous thing to say that I discount a jury's determination. That is one of the foundational underpinnings, you know, like voting and counting all the legally cast votes. Those two things, I would say, are pretty foundational to our democracy. And to have someone on Righty Whitey Radio just dismissing out of hand the verdict rendered by 9 people in New York is distressing, to say the least, jury instructions or not. And by the way, he was represented by counsel who argued about those jury instructions at length. And the fact that Fox News wants to talk about Hunter Biden and not Donald Trump and then writes all of its articles as if they were Donald Trump is just further indictment, as if Tucker Carlson's avalanche of text messages and emails and everyone else's completely biased view of the world at Fox hadn't already told us they don't do news there. They do propaganda.
Don't tell CJ. He's still supporting Brett Baer. Although I found reporting overnight that even Brett Baer, the last standout from the news division's like, let's slow roll the election outcomes because we don't want to turn off our audience. You know, like all good journalists say.
Of course. Like, let's not talk about the news so we don't piss off anyone who likes, you know, is here to watch the news. I mean, it's just It's an absurdist proposition that keeps simply repeating itself. To everybody out there who's a Bret Baier fan, I'll tell you, he's got good hair.
Yes, he does.
He's like Ron DeSantis, though. He's like a thick dude. You know, he's like, not in a good way. He's not like a gym
meatball
way,
number
like
two,
a,
meatball Ron, meatball Bret.
Yeah, more like a Shakey's buffet sort of way.
Ron DeSantis definitely strikes me as the kind of guy at a Shakey's buffet that gets a plate full of mashed potatoes. You know what I'm saying?
Who are those potatoes? I like those potatoes at Shakey's. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. That's Maggie Dawn. E. Jean Carroll, she issued a statement today. I'd like to read it and get your reaction. Maggie, quote, "I filed this lawsuit against Donald Trump to clear my name and to get my life back. Today, the world finally knows the truth. This victory is not just for me, but for every woman who has suffered because she was not believed."
Yeah, wow, right? It's so simple, yet there's so much there. As a survivor of a violent sexual assault, I can just say I wasn't in the press called a liar and an ugly slut by the most powerful man in the world. And that was extremely traumatic and difficult for me to recover from. So to every woman who stands up and gives voice to her trauma in the face of men with incredible institutional power and money and teams of lawyers, and Miss Carroll herself, I tip my hat to you. Your bravery is inspiring and should be respected, regardless of what your opinions of Mr. Trump may be. I guarantee you every single person listening to this show, every conservative, every MAGA hat wearing, Trump-loving Republican voter, all of them know a woman who is sexually assaulted. And many of them know a woman who has been harassed or placed in a really uncomfortable position by a person in power. I suggest you ask them what their stories are, and I suggest you believe them when they tell you.
Maggie Dawn, do you think Trump will be damaged politically? He talked about, I could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and I wouldn't lose a voter. Now, it's not about losing the general election. I think he's already done that. But in terms of winning the Republican nomination, it seems like, I know it's not a criminal conviction of rape, but effectively, the man's been tarnished. Do you think he's been tarnished with Republican voters or not? Or no?
No. Listen, those that supported Trump before this, without question, worshipped at the altar of Trump, without question, without reference to facts, without humility, those people will continue to support him no matter what. That's a sad, sad moment, right? I've often said to people, you know, there's a certain suspension of all rationality, right? And just a willingness to deny facts that I think has plagued some. And once someone is willing that first time to trade away common sense and facts and engage in the fantasy, they will do so again and again and again. And it becomes a drug that they cannot deny themselves, because to admit that it is a fantasy in one instance is a domino effect that requires vigorous investigation and interrogation all elsewhere. So those that have believed in Trump all along will continue to do so. Those that are complicit in his unhinged thirst for power will continue to do so, whether they are at Fox News or folks like the Koch brothers that through all manner and means fund his brand of hate and lies. They'll continue to do so. I don't think he'll take much of a hit at all, Mike.
Technically, only one Koch brother. The other one's dead. Thank you, Maggie Dawn, for appearing on the Devil's Advocates today. The happier happy hour is next. Stick around. I know you will. All except for Maggie. You're dismissed.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, all you vintage vixens, rockabilly rebels, and cool cats. Find the retro-inspired fashion you're looking for in South Milwaukee at Hollyville. This one-woman small business is known for creating many one-of-a-kind looks reminiscent of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and sourcing out to other retro clothing brands from around the world. It's where vintage meets modern. Hollyville, 916 Milwaukee Avenue, South Milwaukee. 414-220-0055. That's 414-220-0055. Or log on to hollyville.com.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.